Dean have found a wallet with a picture of the dead boy inside, and they're sure it's the vital clue which will help them crack the case.
I hope we don't get homework in the big holiday. That would suck. Everybody agreed.
If we don't step on any cracks for the rest of the term, then the holidays will be sunny every day.
All of us agreed with Dean. The first one to step on a crack gets their head flushed down the toilet. The big holiday will be brilliant. We're going to the zoo first. Papa and baby Agnes and Grandma Emma will be here by then. I borrowed Lydia's phone. I only didn't tell her because it's classified police business. Dean and me were checking the basketball court because the dead boy used to hang out there. A piece of a dead person's spirit always stays in the places he knew, even if his soul's already gone to heaven. I was in charge of filming. I pointed the camera at Dean and got ready to snap if the dead boy's spirit came back. I held the dead boy's picture for extra energy and said a prayer inside my head for him to find us. If we could bring him back, just long enough for him to tell us what happened, then we'd have all the proof we needed and he could rest in peace forever after. The dead boy was brilliant at basketball. One time, he scored a basket from one end of the court to the other. I swear, it was a one in a million shot. Everybody said it was a fluke, but he just smiled like he planned it all along. Crossfire kept calling him a poser. Then Crossfire and Killer started pushing him, but he just pushed them back. He wasn't scared of anything. I could see it all happening through the fence. They were all red eyes, and the pushing just got faster. The dead boy pushed Killer so hard, he fell back. His t-shirt got twisted, and you could see the handle of a screwdriver sticking out from the back of his pants. It was like somebody pressed the wrong button and now they had to keep pushing until they ran out of batteries. All the other players just stood and watched. Most of them were smaller kids, like me. They only stopped when one of them tried to steal the dead boy's bike. He had to chase after them to get his bike back. I thought it was all over then, but the dead boy came back. He got a big drink from his water bottle and spat it all on Killer's back. Then he rode away. Killer was proper red eyes. The water was dripping off him. One of the smaller kids threw the basketball at him and called him Pussy Boy. That's when I knew somebody was going to get killed. I just ran away, sharp, sharp, before it was me. It was ages ago when I first came here. Now, the basketball court's nearly always empty. Dean was lying on the ground, under the basket. His eyes were closed and his arms were spread out from his sides, like an angel.
This is a stupid idea. I'm not getting anything.
What are you two batty boys doing? Been eating retard sandwiches again?
Crossfire and Dizzy blocked the gate. Killer was behind the fence. Makita was hanging onto him like a tree. I dropped Liddy's phone through the fence quick, so the grass would hide it.
Don't you know you're trespassing? You have to pay tax now. Innit? How much you got?
Nothing.
Don't make me hurt you.
Dizzy made Dean empty his pockets. All he had was 63p and two blackjacks. Dizzy took it all. I couldn't stop it.
What about you, Garner? What are you hiding?
My belly went all cold. I held onto the dead boy's wallet in my pocket. I couldn't get the picture back in time. Dizzy got my arm and pulled it. I tried to dig it further down. I pressed proper hard and pushed all my fingers together to make them like glue. I only let go when Dizzy stamped on my foot. He got his hand in my pocket before I could stop him and got the wallet out. The dead boy's picture fell on the floor. All their faces went stiff. Killer was staring at the picture like he was trying to make it disappear.
Where'd you get this?
We found it!
Crossfire glared at Killer. The air was thick and full of killing thoughts. I was sinking in a black sea. That's what it felt like. Crossfire picked the dead boy's picture up and burned it with his lighter.
Dizzy, cover the gate, man. They ain't going nowhere.
Dizzy blocked the gate and Crossfire came for us. He wasn't even Red Eyes anymore. He'd made up his mind. He reached in the back of his pants. I knew it would be a war knife. All the windows of the houses were empty. Nobody was going to save us.
Get away from him! I called the police.
I swear, my heart nearly jumped out of my skin. Lydia was outside the fence. She was filming the whole thing on her phone. She must have found it where I dropped it. Dizzy and Crossfire went after her.
Run!
Dean and I made for the hole in the fence and got between them. We just ran. I could see Lydia ahead of me. We only slowed down when we reached the shops. We ran into the big library and got up the stairs to the computers. Lydia showed us the film. She got everything. Killer looking sorry and Crossfire burning the dead boy's picture. She emailed it to her friend Abner in Ghana for extra security. It took donkey hours to send. Connor Green stepped on a crack. He did it on purpose. Now the summer holidays will be ruined. The war was here. It was real. There was smoke everywhere. It was thick, black, and it filled up the sky. Somebody set the swings on fire. That's where the smoke was coming from. The climbing frame was on fire as well. All the metal had gone black and the ropes from the net was burning off and dying. When the fire engine came, I heard the siren from miles away. It drove right across the green. The water from the hose came out super quick. The firemen were very skillful. They put the whole fire out in 1 minute. When the fire was gone, the playground just looked nasty. Black and dirty and dead. The smaller kids started playing a new game where they dared each other to pick up the burnt wood chips. They were still proper hot. Nobody could hold them for longer than 2 seconds. I saw Killer through the smoke. He was on his own. He'd been watching the fire like everybody else. He picked up a wood chip, wrapped his hand around it, and just stood there, holding it, waiting for it to burn his fingers. He didn't care. He just kept holding it for donkey hours before he dropped it. Then he put his hands in his pockets and walked away. It was like he was as sad as me.
I took a walk around the ruins of the playground, let the soot stain my orange feet black. I was hoping the flames might bring a concession, a last-minute change of plan. I was hoping to singe my wings in the embers, but it didn't work. I've still got a job to do. No rest for the wicked and all that.
Me, Endine and Lydia all walked to school together for extra security. It didn't even feel like the war would come today. It was the last day before summer, and it made an unbreakable spell. It was lovely and hot. Everybody was smiling from ear to ear. They were wearing their ties around their heads, pretending to be ninjas. The Year 11s wrote their names on each other's shirts and messages for good luck. They were never going to school again. You have to cover your shirt with good luck to take on your journey to the world. It's a tradition. I can't wait till I do it. The Year 11s got let out before us. Some of them brought super soakers and there was a big water fight. It looked brutal. In the end, Mr. Carroll had to let us out too, or there'd be a riot. Me and Poppy walked to the gate together, holding hands the proper way. She's going to Spain for her holiday, but I said I'd text her. She wrote her number on my hand. I didn't tell her I haven't got a phone. I'll just borrow Lydia's. Then Poppy kissed me. I wasn't even scared this time. It felt lovely. Dean says to wait until Monday before we tell the police. We need to get all our evidence together and work out what to say, and we have to tell our mamas. They'll have to come to the police station with us, but if the cops don't believe our story? Dean says we might get a tour. I hope they show us the torture room. They'll just hold Killer's head in a bucket of water until he admits it. We just have to stay alive until Monday. Then everything will be all right. It started raining. I did a big breath and got ready to run. I was going to count how long it takes to get home. If I did it under 7 minutes, it means Poppy won't forget me. And we solved the case. I started just moving my arms. I made them go faster and faster. I could feel my blood getting stronger. I ran down the hill and through the tunnel. I was going faster than I've ever gone before. Nobody could catch me. I was going to break the world record. I could see the flats. I was nearly home. The stairs would be safe. When I got to the stairs, the spell would come true. He came out of nowhere. He was waiting for me. I should have seen him, but I wasn't paying attention. He didn't say anything. His eyes gave it all away. He just wanted to destroy me, and there was nothing I could do to stop it. He just bumped me and ran away. I didn't even see it go in. I thought it was a trick until I fell over. I've never been tricked before. It just felt too crazy. I called for Mama. It only came out like a whisper. It wasn't enough. Mama was at work. Papa was too far away.
Hold on, I'm coming, hold on.
I could see the rain. All the raindrops were crashing into each other. They were going in slow motion. I looked up and you were perched there on the railing, watching me. Your pink eyes weren't dead, but full of love. I wanted to laugh, but it hurt too much.
You came. I knew you would.
Don't worry. You'll be going home soon. When it's time, I'll show you the way.
But can't I stay here?
It's not up to me. You've been called home.
Do you work for God?
It won't be long now.
I like your feet. They're nice and scratchy. I like all your colours.
Thank you. I like you too. I always did. There's nothing to be scared of. Just relax. Everything's going to be all right.
You could see the blood. It was darker than you thought. It just felt too crazy. I couldn't keep my eyes open. I just wanted to remember. If I could remember, it would be all right. Baby Agnes's tiny fat fingers and face. But I couldn't see her anymore. All babies look the same.
Jojo Beidou has been reading Pidgin English by Stephen Kelman. Other parts were played by Robert Sparks, Ozzy Achille, Daniel Green, Amelia Donker and David Holt. Pidgin English was abridged and produced for BBC Radio 4 by Jane Marshall Productions. Paul Gambaccini returns to BBC Radio 4 this weekend with the award-winning series For One Night Only. Each week he looks back at the recording of a classic live album, hearing from those who were there, on stage, backstage and in the audience. The series begins with The Button-Down Mind of Bob Newhart. When it appeared in 1960, it became the first comedy album ever to top the charts. The sketches that earned Newhart Grammy Awards were as popular in Britain as in the US, such as this telephone call to the Wright Brothers.
Listen, how are things coming on the plane? 105 feet, huh? That's all. Do the 12 guys still have to push it down the hill? They do, huh? Well, see, that's going to cut our time to the coast. I mean, if we got to land every 105 feet. You know?
Starting tomorrow morning at 10:30. That's For One Night Only.